My next guest on Book Today is Will Grambois, editor of the Soper Sun. Thanks for joining me, Will.
Always a pleasure.
Tonight, the town of Carbondale is introducing four finalist candidates to become the town's new police chief at a meet and greet at the launch pad from 6 to 7:30 p.m. I did call and confirm with town manager Jay Harrington this afternoon that the event is proceeding.
As did I. There's a lot in the paper this week that is not proceeding, so
yeah.
that was sort of a first concern for me.
Community members can drop in at any point between 6 and 7:30. It sounds pretty casual. Will, what's the timeline for Chief Gene Schilling's retirement and potential crossover with the soon-to-be-hired next chief?
Well, so Chief Schilling is retiring in September, but also his lieutenant, Chris Wirtsmith, is retiring in the summer. So my understanding is that the goal is to bring in somebody before either of them are gone, have them overlap a little bit, kind of have the chief or the new chief fill in the lieutenant position for the summer and really get comfortable with the area before taking the top spot. And then they'll have an opportunity to hire their own lieutenant once they're a little bit more settled. So it's definitely a transition process. It's not particularly abrupt, which makes sense. I mean, Chief Schilling's been in his position for a couple of decades and had been at the department before that. Fred Williams, his predecessor, had been in here for quite some time. So it's a big moment in Carbondale in terms of a transition of a really significant role that has historically been held by just a couple of folks, and typically the promotion has come from within. That's not so much of an option this time because we've had such turnover in the leadership at the police department, but pretty much every candidate I talked to really praised the people who are in place there. You get some consistency just out of having the same officers, even if your leadership is coming from, well, and I mean, a couple of these guys are from the Roaring Fork Valley or at least the Western Garfield County, but if you did end up with a leader from Illinois, it's not like your PD isn't full of people that you already know.
Yeah, and I think some people were hoping Lieutenant Wirtsmith might be a candidate for chief, but he clearly chose not to pursue that avenue himself.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a choice that was. I think there were some personal factors that he's leaving the area for. That's a separate deal.
No, of course. So four interesting finalists. Lee DeMuth and Kirk Wilson already live in the area. Sean Dugan lives on the Front Range, and David Schaefer lives in Illinois. What sticks out for you when you look at their bios? And you wrote about this in the paper that just dropped today.
Well, do you mean collectively or individually?
Individually. Anything you notice in terms of who the finalists are in terms of their experience or particular things that you wrote about in the paper?
Sure. So all of them are experienced in different ways. You know, certainly Sean Dugan and David Schaefer have perhaps the most. Dugan is currently running the police department over at Red Rocks Community College.
Mm-hmm. On the Front Range, yep.
Yes. Well, Front Range is also a community college.
Exactly.
But also spent a lot of time with Littleton PD. He responded to Columbine and had a daughter in the building at the time.
Oh, wow.
He's been through a lot. He's seen it all. And then David Schaefer works currently in one part of Illinois. There's a sister city sort of adjacent. So he's been across two departments for about 30 years. He's the lieutenant down, or lieutenant chief or assistant chief down there, over there. And so they have a lot of experience. That's not to say, you know, Lee DeMuth, are you? I don't think to check pronunciation.
I didn't get a chance to confirm the pronunciation.
Yeah, because I'm in print. He's worked closely with Carbondale PD on several issues. So his sort of local experience is fairly significant, as is his role as investigator for the Ninth Judicial District.
I was going to say, yeah, so that Ninth Judicial experience, probably the most directly involved with Carbondale PD before now.
Probably so.
But then also Kirk Wilson, you wrote that when someone stopped through Rifle to recruit applicants for the job, Sergeant Wilson's chief pointed him out.
Yeah, and not only that, you can't tell from the crop job on the photo, but the photo he sent me of himself is in front of Sopris. You know, he's definitely, he's got connections to the area. He's really connected in Western Garfield County, involved with the schools, involved with 4-H. So he's a go-getter that that, you know, he sort of bills himself as approachable and involved, and they all have advantages. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what the community makes of them.
Are you going to be there for the meet and greet?
Absolutely. I'm also planning on attending. The town has some vetting processes that aren't necessarily open to the public tomorrow that I'm hoping to sit in on, just so that we're doing our due diligence as this decision gets made.
Fourth Estate, so important. Thank you, Will Grandbois and the Soper Sun. So important to the coverage of what happens with local law enforcement. And along those lines, I want to ask you, as editor of the nonprofit weekly newspaper and also a hometown kid here, in the few minutes we have left, you grew up in Carbondale. You've covered the Carbondale Police Department as an adult. How will you remember Chief Gene Schilling's tenure and his impact on the community where his salary has been paid all these years?
You know, I think that Gene, he's going to show up with, I'm going to remember him driving the bus, you know, to
I see him outside my window in the morning, checking all the lights.
I love the moments when somebody, or I don't love them, but I can't help but cackle a little bit when somebody passes his school bus, you know, when the sign is out and he just calls in one of the patrol guys to come and get him. It's the very last
school bus to pass
very
illegally.
Very much so. But you know, I think that that those of us who remember Fred Williams as the police chief are going to remember Gene in very similar manner. They both taken sort of a community approach to policing. They're not always, at least in my experience, that quick to give you a ticket. They'll give you a warning. They'll, you know, I think Gene is been a huge factor in the tie-dye at Mountain Fair approach to policing.
Who's the basalt?
Greg Knott?
Yeah, I think Greg credits his time at Carbondale PD for this beginning of the idea for the tie-dye.
Oh, so Greg is taking credit for it?
I think Greg takes credit for that, but we should fact check that.
I think
Gene
Greg
has
is
carried
part of
that
same vein.
Exactly.
Carbondale has for a long time, probably, you know, Vern Susie might have had been a slightly different attitude, but I wasn't around for that. But for the better part of three decades, maybe four, Carbondale's been policed kind of in the manner that you'd expect a small, quirky little town to be policed.
Now, from the critical lens, if we just you know, look at it through a different perspective on the prism, what about the way that that reporting has changed, or the way that, like, the police blotter comes to the paper? Isn't that something that
that
is a fair critique?
That's honestly something I've already brought up with a couple of these candidates, and probably mean to mention to all of them. I do think that you know, the public transparency is an important part of a police department, and not something that I think your average citizen thinks about, but certainly something that as journalists think about. I mean, you go back to our previous story and the lack of transparency in that school district. So the fact that for a long time we sort of had access to the whole binder of incident reports, that was really sort of gave journalism, the Fourth Estate, the chance to vet what was important to put out there in the public. Now it's vetted by the police department and sent to us. The argument being, okay, that we converted to digital, there's not a binder anymore. You know, the process of sort of making sure that there's not sensitive information about minors or about sex assaults in there is a little more difficult for them. But that is something that I think both KD&K and the Soper Sun would like to make sure that we're seeing everything that the police department is doing. We don't have to publicize every little
of course not. There's event, no time.
Right. There's no time. We don't need to be publicly shaming somebody because their dog, you know, got noisy in the middle of the night. But we need to have that oversight so that when there are either a miscarriage of justice or just something that needs a little bit more of a close look, we have the opportunity to do that.
Often it's the perception that we don't have full access more so than the need for reporting on a dog barking.
Right. It's precedent. So that is something that I'll be addressing with whoever is selected in this position and, you know, probably could bring up to Gene again, but might as well take it up with somebody who will be dealing with it in the long term.
In the last 2 minutes here, I'm going to try to squeeze in two more questions. One is, on the flip side of that subject, I do feel like, in my experience coming to KD&K, first as news director and then as general manager, Chief Schilling has definitely had a pretty open door policy in terms of having conversations about public safety or things that we've wanted to know about at the radio station. So certainly not an unwillingness to talk frankly on and off the record with us.
Sure.
In terms of my impressions of him. The other thing is I want to ask you about is, for folks who are just hearing about these four police chief candidates, these four finalists now for the first time, and who haven't picked up the Soper Sun yet, they do appear in the paper to all four be of not a lot of hue.
And all men.
So four white males, as far as we can tell.
As far as we can tell. And I haven't heard, Jay Harrington sort of said he hasn't asked this specifically, but none of them have advertised that they're bilingual either.
That was going to be my question.
In that sense, there is sort of a lack of diversity there. And I broached that with Jay when we first sat down. It seems like, from his perspective, that's sort of a selection bias. It's those are the people who are out there in leadership positions with the experience, with what we're looking for. And the few people who are bilingual or women that are in those positions that would qualify it's very competitive. There are many places that they can go that might have more resources to pay them or a lower cost of living or what have you. So one thing that has been praised is that our officers have some diversity. There are several women on the force. There are numerous bilingual enforcement folks, and there's the hope that at least we can continue to build on that. And I will say that there is some of the vetting is going through. You know, Valley Settlement is taking a strong approach to making sure that they at least get to sort of be part of this process and that those people are represented in that.
Well, we have to leave it there. Will Grandbaugh, editor of the Soper Sun, brand new issue out on stands as we speak. And thank you so much for taking the time with KD&K. And if people want to call in and support us, the number is 963-0139. That number again?
963-0139.
Hey, thanks, Will.